On today's episode of The Good Word, De'Aaron Fox is leaving Sacramento. Jimmy Butler is still in Miami, as far as we know. But we're also going to talk about Amen Thompson's emergence and some big-time moves in the W. All that and much more coming up right now. Finally, we got some trade stuff to talk about. Welcome to The Good Word. My name is Vincent Goodwill, senior NBA reporter for Yahoo Sports. A bit of business to get into today. Of course, we are on YouTube, so hit the subscribe button. And of course, we are also wherever you get your podcast. So rate us, review us, give us 5 stars. It is Wednesday, which means we got Ice in the building. Ice Young, how you doing?
I'm good, fam. How are you? Happy Wednesday.
Yes, it is Wednesday. We got De'Aaron Fox asking for a trade. This Jimmy Butler trade could happen virtually as we are recording. I am not joking. So maybe we have to go back and do some self-editing at the end of this, but we're going to pretend like these two guys are still in their uniform. We're going to start with De'Aaron Fox first, Ice. De'Aaron Fox, Sacramento Kings, All-Star, has really fleshed his game out over the past few years, especially since the trade of Tyrese Halliburton, but the Kings have not put it together. They fired Mike Brown. They've been better since putting in Doug Christie. De'Aaron Fox, if you go back to the summer, he did not sign an extension with the Kings, which is usually the sign, y'all. Get me up out of here or else. And or else has essentially happened. ESPN's Sham Sharania reported that the Kings are opening up trade talks for De'Aaron Fox in advance of next Thursday's trade deadline, a little over a week. There is a list. It's a small list, Ice. It's a short list. That list is not one, but at the top of the list, I think, is the San Antonio Spurs, the Miami Heat, and the, who's the other team? And the Portland Trailblazers, excuse me. Those are the two teams I believe that are in like second tiers. But in that first tier, it's playing with Victor Wembanyama. Now, let's assume, because we have brains, that Victor Wembanyama ain't bringing his ass to Sacramento, right? So if you have those two there for that sort of period of time now where we're on Victor's rookie deal for another couple of years, wow, De'Aaron Fox is going to get, wherever he goes, he's going to get a big money extension. If it is San Antonio, how do you see that combination working out? I know we're jumping, but let's just assume.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, who wouldn't want to play with Wemby?
Yeah.
I start there. Like, who wouldn't want to play with Wemby? We've talked about this, but probably one of the best defenders we will ever see in the game. Someone who has obviously a lot of time left in his game to play and to develop and to get better. So you look at De'Aaron Fox, a player that over the last couple of seasons, like you mentioned, has really come into his own, has really matured, has really grown. There is no doubt that he can be and is a superstar in this league. And now you get to pair him with Wemby. I think that duo could be so dynamic. One, I love that Wemby would be getting somebody that's a bit younger, that's not, you know, old like a Chris Paul, so to speak, and on their last couple of years.
Yep.
You're getting someone who is young and trying to chase a ring and a championship now. I also think in terms of both of them stylistically, how fun that would be to watch. You know, De'Aaron comes across as a very, you know, selfless player, plays the right way, smooth lefty jump shot, like would really look to work well with Wemby offensively. And he's also no slouch defensively. We talk about winning championships. We know you have to play both sides of the basketball. I think it could make for a really cool duo. And I think that those guys, once you give them time to blend and develop and get their chemistry as young guys, I think it could be something that we watch for a very long time.
Look, I think we've all been wondering what the San Antonio Spurs have been doing for the past few years.
Seriously.
With not just because they've gotten Victor Wembanyama, but they've done everything they could because they saw this coming and they put themselves in the right position. And the ping pong balls just so happened to make its way to San Antonio, the franchise that had Tim Duncan and before that David Robinson. Funny how that works out. Not going to say anything nefarious is happening. It's just the luck of the ping pong balls, right? But when you look at their roster and you see Devin Vassell, Jeremy Sochan, Keldon Johnson, those players would be attractive because youth, athleticism, And you're not necessarily talking about the most expensive players that you would have to take back. Not because De'Aaron Fox makes a ton of money. You're going to have to match the salaries. But the Spurs, one good thing about them, we're going to get into this later. I'm going to have to repeat this ad nauseum over the next week or so. This is where the luxury tax aprons and having flexibility comes into play so you can absorb a player like a De'Aaron Fox. De'Aaron Fox turned down 3 years and $57 million from the Sacramento Kings. If that ain't the sign that says it is time for this relationship to end, y'all need a trip from the love doctor, okay? But this year, he's at $34.9 million. So you have to come somewhere within reasonable proximity to that. Whether that means getting a third team involved or not, we'll have to see. But even a team that intrigues me, Ice, is a team like the Houston Rockets, because they have so many young players. Fred VanVleet is on the second. I think he's got one more year left after this year. That's going to be big for a team like Sacramento, which wants flexibility. VanVleet played with DeMar DeRozan, and I think it's his rookie year before they wound up trading DeMar for Kawhi Leonard and Toronto. Like, Sacramento was just, look, it's easy for us to say, Ice, Sacramento should just shut down shop, trade De'Aaron Fox, trade DeMar DeRozan, trade Sabonis. But they've been a long time without being relevant. And now they're sniffing relevancy. Even though that their guy's leaving or wants to leave, you can't just strip it all down and say, well, we'll be back next year. It took you 20 years to get back to the playoffs. And that fan base is not going to be happy, not only with him leaving, but with you just selling off everything for parts. So you have to be really smart in how you execute this trade and what you want back. You're not going to get a superstar back, right? We all know that. At least we should know that. But you can get some athletic pieces back. Maybe you get a point guard back. The kid in San Antonio, Stephon Castle, who's going to play in the Rising Stars Challenge. That could be a piece. Remember, Chris Paul is there right now. I don't know if Chris Paul would be attractive necessarily to the San Antonio Spurs. I mean, to the Sacramento Kings. But going back to Houston, Ice, Houston has Jalen Green, Amen Thompson, who we're going to talk about later. Like, they have a lot of young players who are still on the upswing. If De'Aaron Fox is saying San Antonio or bust, okay, that's one thing. But if he's saying, hey, Houston's a good place, they're second in the West right now, maybe we can make something happen there. You add him to, you know, Alperen Şengün and Amen Thompson, and you really got something cooking in the Western Conference that seems to look increasingly younger. We keep talking about these old dudes, Lakers, Anthony Davis, hurt his abdominal last night. That's an old man injury. LeBron, old. Steph, old. KD, old. Can we talk about the youth in the Western Conference right now? And maybe just as a whole, Ice, it's a time for a changing of the guard, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, only person who's beat Father of Time, LeBron or Tom Brady. Everybody you know, falls victim to him. And so I think you have to start talking about youth. But you make a great point, like with the Houston Rockets. We're talking about youth, but we're not talking about a young team that's getting beat and that can't compete. I mean, these young guys are adapting so quickly and really giving some of these older guys a run for their money. And because of the injuries too, and I feel like the increased amount of injuries that we've seen amongst the older players across the league, it's that much more attractive when you have young players who are taking care of their body, who can bounce back, who you know will play plus 65 games in a season.
Look, man, Houston has that crazy man, Dylan Brooks. I don't know. There's a certain type of franchise that can handle crazy people. Right? Like, not everybody's equipped to handle the dude that's just talking to himself, talking to you, talking to the coaches, talking to your teammates, yelling at them, barking, whatever it is. I don't know if Houston's that type, but Dylan Brooks seems to fit in well with Ime Udoka and everything that they're doing there. Like, they have a lot of, you know, the Tari Eason's, the Cam Whitmore's, Jabari Smith. Like, they have a lot of young players who would be attractive in a trade. Like, I thought Reed Sheppard was going to be rookie of the year, like a lot of people. Mm. He's in a G League. He can't get on the floor. And it's not just because he's having trouble adjusting to the league, which it is, but it's because there's not the space for a young player just to go out there and make mistakes, and we're going to be okay. Houston's playing basketball competitively, like they're an honorary team because their coach, Ime Udoka, is an honorary dude, and that is how it's working. Like, we can talk about Amen Thompson later, but because we got, speaking of honorary dudes, I present to you Pat Riley, right? This is who I present to you. Yeah, I know, right? I present to you Pat Riley, Ice, because this is a mess. The Heat have suspended Jimmy Butler again indefinitely because allegedly, reportedly, he walked out of practice after being told that he would come off the bench for Haywood Highsmith. This is after the most recent two-game suspension where Jimmy missed the plane. Ice, nobody looks good in this. But we're all going to say Jimmy Butler doesn't look good, right?
Of course. I mean, we're going to say that because he's the person who put his name on the dotted line, signed the contract, and agreed to be on a team. And with that comes responsibilities, like making a team flight, like performing at 100%. You know, there's the principle of it, right? In which, hey, you said you were going to be here and you were going to play. We expect 100% no matter what. You're getting paid your money. Yes, you want to leave, but you got to honor your contract. You have to honor your word. And so I think it's so easy for us to say, oh, you know, he's being a diva. He's purposely throwing temper tantrums and trying to sabotage so we can get out of there as quick as possible. Yes. But like we're about to talk about, there is also mutual responsibility, shared responsibility with leadership and Pat Riley and making this process seem like, okay, somebody no longer wants to be in our organization. How can we treat this professional and still respect them and not burn a bridge or make it completely go up in flames where it's distracting to the rest of the team? I think so much about distractions, honestly, because when you're on a team and different things happen like this, you and I had this conversation when, you know, Joel Embiid put his hands on a reporter and just the distraction that can cause a team to focus on something else other than winning. It's all a distraction, absolutely, to the Miami Heat, but it seems like everybody's distracted. It's not just Jimmy and those on the court that are distracted. It also seems like leadership is distracted. Don't forget, everybody else is watching you treat a player like this. So do I want to be the next player that goes into Miami, understanding that this is the type of relationship and situation that can arise if I say I want to leave? No.
Let me put my love doctor hat on for y'all for a second.
Uh-oh, not even February yet.
It ain't even February. This has been the longest January ever. Have you noticed that? I feel like we've been in January for like 5 weeks.
74th. Good. I totally agree, fam. I totally agree. Between all things politics, basketball, life, the flu, it feel like January 74th.
Yeah, it is. So let me put my love doctor hat on for y'all. What happens when you are getting out of a relationship, okay? And you got to talk to that next person and say, hey, man, what happened in your last relationship? It seemed like y'all had something good going on. Well, this person, they acted up and all this other type of stuff. And then someone will stop the conversation and say, now, what did you do? Yep. How did you co-create this dynamic with this person that you've had so many good times with? And then you have to be accountable for that. See, for a long time, Pat Riley was like the grandfather of player empowerment, because Miami was the face of player empowerment. It was the stomping ground of it when LeBron James and Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh went there, and he was the guy that put the rings on the table. He was the godfather. And, you know, come to me, come to the shores of Biscayne Bay, and we'll go to the finals for 4 years, right? And then LeBron apparently handles things in ways that Pat Riley doesn't like on his way out. LeBron was never going to stay there forever. That much is obvious. We can debate whether or not that was a great move for him or not, but he left and that burned Pat Riley. He didn't treat Dwayne Wade right on the way out. He gave Chris Bosh a whole lot of money that he did not give to Dwayne Wade. And then he went after Kevin Durant when there was no chance in hell Kevin Durant was going to Miami, when we all knew he had his bags ticketed for Oakland. Yeah. Dwayne Wade leaves. Then Dwayne Wade has to come back hat in hand a little bit later. So nobody thinks about Pat Riley being wrong. Like, there's something, and we see it a lot in pro sports. And I really want to impress this about to people. Pat Riley's trying to win this battle. This is a battle of wills with a willful superstar in Jimmy Butler. There's a point where you say, do I want to be right or do I want to get it right? And it is clear that Pat Riley wants to get it right. He does not want to be burned by Jimmy Butler the way that he was burned by the greatest player of this generation, LeBron James. He doesn't want Jimmy Butler to get over on him when nobody gets over on Pat Riley. In the end, though, the franchise suffers, like you said, when you talk about the distraction, when you talk about the fact that they're not able to move forward with the players that they have. The players have to answer questions. They have to wonder, is Jimmy coming to practice today? Is he coming to shoot around? Is he starting? Is he playing? And you can play above that, but it doesn't help you in the long run. And you can say as a franchise, well, we have a franchise standard that we're not going to be bullied. But here's the thing now. Apparently, it looks like ICE, they're not going to be getting back what they originally were going to be asking for with Jimmy Butler. So now you've had to lower your price because the distraction has gotten so great. You got to get out of the Jimmy Butler business as soon as possible. You know when you should have gotten out of the damn Jimmy Butler business? When you didn't offer him an extension this offseason, which is your right. You have every right, Pat Riley and Mickey Arison and Eric Spoelstra, who I think is the best coach in basketball, to say, you know what, Jimmy Butler, you haven't played enough. And you've missed enough time to where we don't know that you're going to be at age 36 and 37 worth 2 years and $113 million. You have every right to say that. But at the same time, you know who you're dealing with. The man who forced himself out of Minnesota. The man who left Philadelphia. Like, this is who he is. And not absolving Jimmy Butler of responsibility. I don't think necessarily Jimmy Butler's in the right or the wrong here, but it's not about being right or wrong. As a franchise, you're supposed to do what's best for the franchise. As a player, you're supposed to do what's best for yourself. And they're not doing what's best in the best interest of the Miami Heat franchise. And it feels like Pat Riley, who we all revere because he's lived like 8 basketball lives, he's at the statue phase of his career. He's getting a damn statue built in LA. And we are still saying, well, he's right. Well, you know, Jimmy Butler couldn't get over on him. Man, get out of here with that. Make the best decision for your franchise and move the hell on. Shake his hand. He got you to the finals twice. He got you within the sniff of a third. You didn't put a great roster around him, and now you don't want to pay him. Wash your hands of it and call it a fucking day.
Yeah, and own up to it. You know, be a man about it. I completely agree with you.
Tony Braxton, just be a man about it. Wait, do you know that song?
I think I do.
Okay, I was going to say, it's sophomore year of high school. Dr. Dre was in the video. It's a song called Just Be a Man About It. Go look it up on wherever you get your music or whatever nowadays. Or YouTube, if you're consuming it here. There we go. Now, when we come back, we're going to talk about Amen Thompson in Houston and a team also in the East hoping to make moves around the fringes. You're listening to The Good Word here on Yahoo Sports. Back here on The Good Word with Ice Young. Ice, the Milwaukee Bucks don't have a lot of options. You're paying Dame Lillard a lot of money. You're, of course, paying Giannis a lot of money, who's quietly still in the MVP race. It's not just a two-man race. And you're paying Chris Middleton a lot of money, who came off a double ankle surgery in the summer. It led to another slow start. They rebounded last night. They lost to the Portland Trail Blazers in Damian Lillard's second homecoming. He has not won a game since going back to Portland. And it sticks out to me, Ice, that with the moves that they are trying to make, with the moves that maybe they should be trying to make, they're really lacking athleticism on the wings. Guys who can play defense, who can get to long rebounds, who can get out on the fast break. I think you can't win meaningful basketball games, especially in the Eastern Conference, if you don't have that.
Athleticism? Absolutely. Multiple players who can defend at a high level? Absolutely. You can't just rely on two players. Dame and Giannis aren't enough to get it done. I'm curious, though, to hear from you, like, who or what do you think needs to be brought in to help or maybe pieces that could fit?
Well, it's a weird thing right now because Bobby Portis is away from the team. I think he's like a death in the family. So he didn't play last night. They didn't say, Doc Rivers didn't say, you know, when he would be back. Like, those things are always difficult, especially when you've heard said player on the edges of trade discussions. So you want to be sensitive about that. Mm. I've heard, like, on the back end, like, you've heard a lot. Like, on the last show, I talked about Philadelphia being a team for Jimmy Butler. I've heard, of course, the Phoenix Suns being a team for Jimmy Butler. I've heard the Toronto Raptors being a team for Jimmy Butler. I've heard the Milwaukee Bucks being a team for Jimmy Butler in a very, of course, complicated deal that would involve maybe three or four teams shifting a lot of money around because of the fact that the Bucks are in second apron hell, which, for those who don't know, you cannot aggregate players in trades. You cannot trade two players for one. You cannot take in a dollar more of salary than what you are putting out. And of course, the Bucks want to get under. How can you get under while bringing in a player like Jimmy Butler? It would take a lot of gymnastics. But on the floor, if that were to happen, Jimmy Butler's not the athlete that he used to be, the end-to-end, the guy who would guard LeBron James for 40 minutes and be able to give you 20 to 25 on the other end. I've seen him do that. He's an older player. He did that about 10 years ago. He's an older player now, 35 years old. But if he were to go there, if they were to find out through some salary cap machination or whatever the case may be, that he would get there, that puts the Bucks firmly, to me, ahead of the Knicks and right in the conversation with the Cleveland Cavaliers and the champion Boston Celtics, who look middling right now, who just look like they don't know which way is up. But yeah. I do think, Ice, if that something like that were to happen, as unlikely as it seems, and this is crazy season, Ice, where you hear a bunch of things, if that were to happen, if through some work of magic, some stroke of luck or whatever, that were to happen, that would make things really interesting for the Bucks with those three guys. That would be as strong of a big three, if healthy, that I can think of in the NBA today.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, that would be a gift for the Bucks, and especially with, you know, Dame trying to get his championship soon. We know what Giannis is capable of. Mm-hmm. I totally agree that adding Jimmy Butler to that would make them a real triple threat, so to speak.
Yeah, look, we know Jimmy wants his money. He wants his extension, and he's going to go theoretically.
And rightfully so. Get your money. Right. Get your bag.
The only place he doesn't want to go is Memphis. I'm not the only person that said that, but I know that to be true, that the only place he does not want to go is Memphis. And we can talk about that off wax, right? we can put on our thinking caps in the meantime, but we don't have to talk about that now. Now, where we can talk about is one of the, I won't say pleasant surprises, because I don't want to come and say like, oh, he's most improved. He's in his second year. But Amen Thompson has what I like to call functional athleticism, Ice. There's a lot of great athletes who've played basketball, and a lot of them are just great athletes whose athleticism doesn't always translate. Amen Thompson is freaky. He's fast. He can jump, but not just run and jump. He can defend. He can pass. He can get to wherever he wants to get to on the floor. He had that game winner in Boston against the Celtics, where Jaylen Brown threw a little bit of shade after the game and said, well, we gave up the shot to the players we wanted to give the shot to, and he burned you, and he beat you. You know what I mean? Right. Like 33-9-4. We've seen great athletes in the NBA through the NBA's history. He just has a different gear of speed, Ice.
It's like almost like he's shot out of a rocket, but also the control. Like he can speed up and go 0 to 100 in literally half a second, but not out of control to where you think he's going to run out of bounds or lose his footing. Like it's a strong, speedy quickness, especially when he's in the open floor. Like I love to see him, just the quick change of speed, or you can tell when he gets the rebound off a break, when he notices like, oh, okay, I've only got to beat three players right now in the open floor, I'm out of here. I like to just, you know, when players start to click, and it really starts to click in that second and third year, you just understand that the game slows down a bit. At every level that you get to, when you're playing that next level, whether it's high school to college, college to pro, everyone talks about the game slowing down for him. Mm-hmm. And so aside from his speed and how he plays, I think it's also him doing a better job of understanding when to go from 0 to 100, when to go to 50 and then blur to 100. So I think he's understanding the speed and the strength of his own body, and managing that just better in his second year. Like, he just looks like a more mature, experienced player. And then also too, like, maybe figuring out a little bit more of his kill spots. Again, mm-hmm. I think that's something that kind of changes at every year, to where, oh, okay, maybe I was 100% dynamic transition player, but now I'm working more in the mid range. And I think he's starting to figure it out a little bit. I also like that he's not, you know, falling in love with the three. Mm-hmm. He finds a way to score in a multitude of ways. You talked about his assist numbers. He's averaging 4.5 this month in January since he's been starting. And it's a young Rockets team that is embracing him getting better, because it's a young team that continues to get better every time they step on the floor together. They're hot. I mean, they beat Thunder, the Cavs twice, and you just talked about that win versus the Celtics, which obviously he had a career night with. It's fun to watch him play.
Yeah, it's funny because the Warriors made the announcement that Andre Iguodala is getting his jersey retired, I think, in a couple of weeks. He puts me in the mind of an Andre Iguodala type of player. Like, people who don't remember, Iguodala that played in Golden State, that was more or less the older version of him. The right. Iggy that played in your hometown of Philadelphia,
yep.
He was bigger than Amen Thompson. Like, Iguodala came into the league bigger, like more shouldery, mm-hmm. you know, more biceps, triceps, physically, you know, more imposing. But as far as the athleticism, the passing, the excellent gear of speed, like when he and the other AI, Allen Iverson, when they got on the break, it was get out so the way. Like, that's what it was for them, and that's what Amen Thompson reminds me of. I get to watch Asar, his twin brother in Detroit. They're the same level of athlete. The thing with Asar is that if Asar gets the handle down, then Asar is going to be in the same conversation. Amen has a better handle. That's the hardest thing to get in the league if you don't already have it. It's not a jump shot. You can work on your dribbling all day, but if you don't have a handle, if the handle doesn't sort of come to you and you can get to where you want to get to on the floor, it doesn't matter all the athleticism and the speed and everything, because you're not bringing the ball with you. You're going east and the ball's going north, like that sort of thing. But Amen Thompson is in the starting lineup because of injuries. I don't think he should be moving out of the starting lineup, right? I'm not saying he's the most improved player, because I think second year guys, I think that dilutes the spirit of the award. Mm-hmm. But when I think of guys who've made such exponential jumps from one year to the next, and like you said, the gear of speed, the game slowing down, like, Houston's doing something interesting with him, Ice, where he's not the handler on the pick and roll. He's the roller, which means he's getting to open spaces, and then he can make secondary decisions. Like, it's really hard, even though he's not a big guy, it's really hard to handle that when he's so fast. He can get to the spots. He can kick it out to the corners, or he can just dunk on your ass
and just take it himself. I literally have that in my notes, like his versatility and coming off the ball screen, which he does when he's pushing it, but also him as the roller, especially on short roll action. Yes, like when I was watching his film, he catches that thing short roll and it's 17 feet out. He's picking apart defense, whatever. You better hope that he kicks it and they miss, or you better hope that he doesn't decide, like you said, just to take it downhill and ram it down your neck. I think that versatility, again, is huge, and it's been crucial. And I agree with you. I don't think he should sit. You know, Jabari Smith out with an injury and comes back. I think you got to ride the hot hand while he's there, especially because confidence is such a tricky thing in this league as well. While he's playing at this level, continue to keep him there.
Look, man, we talk all the time about these old dudes. At some point, it's like Pride Rock, right? Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's a circle of life, y'all. If y'all ain't seen it, I'm not a person that believes Scar as much as a villain as y'all think he is. You know what I mean? Like, I'm one of those people that believes in these. If we saw a movie from Scar's standpoint, we would say that Scar was the person who was cast away, as opposed to Scar being like, I'm not the person that says he should be, you know, having the hyenas going attacking Mufasa. But I'm saying that Scar had a case, right? When I think about these old dudes, the old dudes are not going to step away. It's going to be the young dudes who take it from them. And that's the way the game is meant to be played. If you are going to hang around, at some point, the young dudes are going to take the mantle from you. And that's the way that you know that what you're seeing is validated. Because you're not saying, oh, man, LeBron, he got to hang with the young dudes and he walked away before they got their pound of flesh. No. Let a man Thompson get a hold of him. Let a man Thompson, let LeBron try that chase down block on a man Thompson and watch what happens. And then you're like, man, LeBron caught everybody. Not everybody. A man Thompson's like, hey, old man, this ain't it. And when you have Alperen Şengün, who I think is really fascinating as a, nothing but just a prospect, he's an all-star type of player, right? Yeah. You get those two dudes together for an extended period of time, whether you add De'Aaron Fox or not, just those two dudes for an extended period of time, Houston has something sustainable, and they will be with the Oklahoma Cities and the Memphises and whatever we consider to be the future of the Western Conference. Maybe not that Minnesota sabotaged themselves with that trade. Maybe the future of the Western Conference is going to be Oklahoma City and Houston, and not just the surprise of the Western Conference. But Ice, when we come back, we got some news from the W that's happened over the past couple days. Some free agency and some big trades. You listen to The Good Word here on Yahoo Sports. All right, y'all, it's time for The Last Word here with Ice Young. Ice, we got a lot of W news that's happened over the past few days. I assume you probably want to start with Brittany Griner after, 11 years in Phoenix, going to the Atlanta Dream. Like, what does that do for Brittany? What does that do for Atlanta?
Yeah, a huge move for Brittany and Atlanta. One, I wasn't sure she was going to leave Phoenix. I don't think that was clearly, you know, made a possibility at the end of last season. You know, sometimes we hear rumors about certain players and you expect them to move. It was pretty quiet on her side. But, I mean, getting a player like BG, who is a 10-time All-Star, to Atlanta is huge. She'll be paired with Alicia Gray, who has been an All-Star. Also Ryan Howard, who's a young All-Star. And Atlanta, a team that, you know, went through a coaching change in the offseason. They have a lot of new pieces. But there's a big belief in Atlanta. And I think only getting BG is going to improve that. Like anything else, you get trades, you get new players, you're going to have to take some time to build some chemistry. But I think it's a huge move for Atlanta. Now, I also will say that in Atlanta right now, too, is Tina Charles, which is also one of the best five players we've ever seen. And she's coming towards the end of her years. And so not sure if she'll stay there or she'll make a move. But for Atlanta, it's a very good pickup to get BG. That is a player that can change a franchise. Oddly enough, Alyssa Thomas went from the Connecticut Sun to the Phoenix Mercury. And this was probably an hour before BG decided that she was going to Atlanta. So for a second there, Phoenix looked packed. They looked like they were going to be the team. And then BG moved on to Atlanta. But I mean, Alyssa Thomas, same kind of deal. She's a vet in this league, an all-star. She was a MVP runner-up 2 years ago when honestly she should have gotten it. She was averaging guys like a triple-double. And to see her go out to play in Phoenix, she'll be with Kalia Copper, who's one of my favorite guards in the league. Also still a Diana Taurasi, if she hasn't retired yet, we all know that name. And so it's an interesting trade. You know, Alyssa Thomas was in Connecticut for years. It's a team who had gotten to the finals back-to-back years, not able to win. And so you just felt like a change needed to be made. And so AT goes to Phoenix, where they pick her up, but now they're without a premier center. And so it'll be interesting to see who Phoenix looks to get, more through WNBA free agency. That also sent Natasha Cloud, their point guard, away as well. I don't think that she was the great fit in Phoenix anyway. So I honestly think that they got the better trade with getting Alyssa Thomas in, somebody that can play a point four. She's kind of like a Candace Parker, but just can't shoot. And a very versatile player.
Look, and that's almost like the appetizer towards the three team. Was it three team? Was it three teams? I believe. Was it Seattle? The Aces and the Sparks.
That's the other trade we got to talk about. Yeah.
Kelsey Plum to the Sparks, Jewel Lloyd to the Aces from Seattle. Like, you don't normally see trades like all of this involving number one, number two draft picks being shipped around. Like, it's really intriguing as far as WNBA offseason stuff, but on the floor, what does that look like for these teams?
Yeah, so interesting. I'll start with, you know, Kelsey Plum going to the Sparks. At the end of last season, the Aces, who it was clear that the New York Liberty built a team to beat the Aces and stop them from three-peating, and Kelsey Plum has been a big part of their success. But Becky Hammond said decisions needed to be made, changes needed to be made in order to get them back to a championship level. And so Kelsey Plum, now going to be the focal point with the Sparks. She's also joined by Rekia Jackson, Cam Brink, who are two players that, you know, had good rookie campaigns. Cam Brink's cut short because of injury, but you add her, and then she's reunited with De'Erica Hamby, who played 3v3 in the Olympics, who also was an all-star, who's coming off her best season career-wise in numbers. So I like the core that they're building in LA. For a while, the Sparks just needed a premier guard. They had good guards, those that could supplement, come off the bench and help, but they didn't have premier guard. They now have Kelsey Plum, which would be a premier guard. So I definitely think they'll be on the look to watch. Also another team with a new coach. And then on the other side, the Aces. I mean, if you thought they could score before, Vinny, when they had Jackie Young, Kelsey Plum, Chelsea Gray, and Asia Wilson, you only add a better scorer in Jewel Lloyd, which is crazy. Now, here's what I'll say, though. You still have to defend. And the issue that the Aces had last season was that they had the best scoring team in the W. They had Asia Wilson that was playing out of her mind and unconscious basketball, but they still couldn't get stops. And I don't think Jewel Lloyd solves that issue. She's definitely not the guard that you would say is a huge two-way player. Jewel is out there to get a bucket. She averaged almost 19 last season. I expect her to score the ball, but I still think the Aces need to fill getting a front court player that can play the five and allow Asia to play the four. When Asia's playing the four, they're at their best. When she's at the five, it's crazy to sound, but they're really undersized. Yeah. And so I love this move for Jewel Lloyd, though. She had asked for a trade out of Seattle. And I mean, what better place to go than under Becky Hammond and playing with Asia Wilson? It gives them a real chance.
Look, I tell you this. When I saw that woman, that WNBA commissioner, with a dress that had the Statue of Liberty on it.
Yeah, it sure did.
Hey, changes was going to be made. It was like, oh, so we got to go against the league too? We're not just playing basketball. We're playing against the league because the commissioner is on stage with a New York dress on. Like, y'all just against us now, huh? I bet.
Seriously. Bet.
That's what they did. And huge moves in the W. Really looking forward to the season while Unrivaled is happening right now, which I think is going to get a lot of those players in shape and ready to play as soon as the W starts. I think right after Memorial Day weekend or right around Memorial Day weekend. And that, ladies and gentlemen, it's Ice Young. Thanks, Ice, for joining us, for holding it down on today's show. Really appreciate you, Ice.
Thanks, fam. Thanks for having me. Always good to chat with you.
As always, thanks to producer Dakota and the entire team that works so hard behind the scenes on this show. I'll be back next week for another episode of The Good Word. Until then, everybody be safe.